Hi, good morning. I'm really excited to present to you today research that we did on reducing disparities in timely diagnosis through family navigation. And I want to thank my research team, which is here in spades today to witness this. I have no disclosures. So, emerging evidence demonstrates that autism spectrum disorder, ASD, can be reliably diagnosed by age of 2, and that early identification defined as diagnosis before the age of 3 can improve outcomes. We also, however, know that low-income and minority families, children, are diagnosed much later than their white and more financially advantaged peers. So, we need to develop some culturally appropriate interventions that have broad scale of potential to decrease this disparity. So the objective of our research study was to adapt patient navigation for use with underserved families of children at risk with ASD, and to assess feasibility and acceptability of this adapted model, and to collect some preliminary outcome data to help us inform a fully powered study in the future. We designed a pilot randomized control study of 40 families who were referred for an autism assessment. They had to be referred to the clinic with ASD concerns, speak either English, Spanish, or Haitian Creole, have a child between 15 months and 6 years old, and have one of 4 social risk criteria, including low income, racial or ethnic minority, foreign born, or maternal age of 24 or under. And the study was set in a developmental behavior pediatric clinic of a large urban safety net hospital. So patient navigation is a promising strategy to address disparities in diagnosis and treatment. It has its origins in cancer care and breast cancer care, and it has demonstrated efficacy in improving adherence to follow-up visits after a screening abnormality and decreasing time to diagnostic resolution. So what we did was reframe this model from patient navigation to family navigation and focused on a defined episode of care, starting with an abnormal screening and ending with the completion of the assessment. So we had 2 groups. We had our usual care group and our family navigation group. Usual care meant they had the standard care that everybody gets when they came into the clinic, 3 visits, ideally over a 3-month period, but we're going to talk about what that actually looks like. And then a family navigation group who had the same 3 assessments, but they also got a trained family navigator to help them complete the assessment based on their individualized needs. We measured participant flow, family navigation utilization, and family navigation satisfaction, and the primary outcome was time to completion of the diagnostic resolution. We completed an intention to treat, a proportion to complete diagnostic evaluation, and a comparison of time to diagnosis by survival analysis using Cox proportional hazard models. So what did we find out? Here are the sample baseline characteristics. We find that our average age was about 3. We had a majority of males involved in the research study, not surprising given autism's propensity for younger men. We had a pretty diverse group of families involved, which was also exciting and good for us to see, considering who we really wanted to focus on. And here's the consort diagram, my favorite part. So this is, I'm going to point out a few things that you're going to need to focus on and remember for later. We had 226 families referred to the study. Now remember, we had 40 families enrolled. Of those 226, we excluded 86 of the families right off the bat. They either lived too far away, they were not in the age range that we were looking for, they had no ASD concerns that we could find. They had a previous ASD diagnosis, so that didn't fit. Or they spoke a home language which we were not able to accommodate. So after those were excluded, we assessed the rest for eligibility. 13 were ineligible. They either lacked social risk criteria, the low income, foreign born, young mom, or they lived way too far away. I think we had a family in New Jersey, and this was based in Massachusetts, so that wasn't going to work. Home visits get a little bit tricky when they live that far away. And then one had no ASD concerns, so they were ineligible. This next group is the one I want you to pay attention to. We had 87 participants who were potentially eligible, but they were not enrolled. So this is why pilot studies are good, because we get to figure out what's going on there. 26 of the families refused. They either were not interested in having a family navigator. Just a number of reasons. They were too busy. They didn't feel like they wanted to deal with that. And I could think of some other reasons, but scientifically sound, I don't think it's appropriate to share. And then 61 of the families were unable to consent before the first appointment. So that's the really interesting group here. What happened with those 61 families that we weren't able to get a hold of? It was either too quick to get in touch with them, we tried to meet them before their first appointment to enroll them and get them connected, or something just happened that we weren't able to get them enrolled. So that 61 is an important number. Of the 40 families that we randomized, 20 got family navigation and 20 had usual care. 19 of the usual care families were included in the analysis, and all 20 of the family navigation families were included. So family navigator utilization. Of those that got a family navigator, they usually had about 4 visits in person and 3 phone calls. They had 1 to 9, a range of 1 to 9 in-person visits and 1 to 20 phone calls. So again, it just depended on the needs of the individual families. The average time spent per minute with the family navigator in person was about 66 minutes, with a range of 37 to 115. Again, depended on the need of the family. And the phone calls were an average about 7 minutes, with a range of 1 to about a half an hour. Patient satisfaction with the navigator score, we only were able to measure 19 of the navigation families, and the median was 35 with a max score of 36, which I'm pretty proud of, and a range of 27 to 36, also proud of that. So there were a number of barriers that were addressed by the family navigators. 16 of the 20 family navigator families faced 5 or more barriers to care. It's 85%. And those barriers to care were identified by their family navigators. 4 of the categories accounted for 50% of these barriers. Scheduling and attending appointments. Understanding the objective of the assessment. Why am I there? What's going on? What are they going to be doing? Completing all the required paperwork. They get a stack of paperwork. It's impressive and really difficult and scares even me. And then individual barriers such as transportation and childcare. How do I get to this appointment? Who's going to watch my child or my other children when I'm at this appointment? How are we going to overcome that? And I think we can look at numbers and we can look at the data here, but I think even more powerful is a story that I'm going to share. And I've changed all of the information and made up names, but it's the story of a real family that we worked with in the study. So Gene works full-time. He is the proud father of a 2-year-old son who was cared for by his maternal grandmother. Gene was the primary caregiver because he spoke the most English in the family. They're Haitian Creole. And when I met with him, he told me that he had no idea why his son was referred and thought that nothing was wrong. And it was obvious to me, and I'm not a practitioner, but it was obvious to me that there was some developmental issue going on with his son. So there were a number of barriers that were immediately identified. Limited English. First language is Haitian Creole. He really was struggling to fill out all the paperwork and really understand what the paperwork meant. He also lived far away. How was he going to get to the clinic? Transportation became a major issue. And then getting time off of work, since he was the primary caregiver and also the primary breadwinner for the family. How was he going to get 3 appointments off work in 3 months? So what the family navigator did was sit down, help him fill out all of his paperwork, step through it, ask all of his questions, and answer all of his questions about the paperwork. Really help him understand the nature of the assessment, what was going to happen when he got to the hospital, who was he going to meet with, what was the doctor going to ask. He asked if they were going to take any blood from his son and what that meant, and he was really involved, which was good. A lot of questions that he wasn't going to get answered unless a navigator was there. And then we helped him secure transportation, so we ensured that he had a waiver so he could get to and from the hospital when he needed to for his appointments. After the diagnosis, and his son did receive a diagnosis of autism, we reviewed material and connected him to resources. So again, when you get that diagnosis, you get this huge packet of overwhelming information, and we were able to sit down and say, listen, this is, here are your concerns, let's pull out those information that's most relevant to you. We also helped him develop a plan for the future. What am I going to do with my son in the future, he said. What are we going to do, and how am I going to deal with this? I'm not going to be here forever, so let's make out a plan that you feel comfortable with and really develop it for him. So I think that was a major strength of the study, was the relationship between the navigator and the family. And it's really reflected in some of our outcomes. So here, the orange line is the intervention family, those that received navigation. And the time to completion is 300 days at the bottom. We can see that they obviously had, they were obviously completing much more quickly. Again, 300 days is the completion though, and that's something else you should remember. Our control families were taking up to 600 days, and then those had to be censored in order for us to really analyze the data. 19 of 20 family navigation families completed the diagnostic assessment, compared to 10 of the 19 families in the usual care group. And that's a hazard ratio of 4.5 with a 95% confidence interval of 1.9 to 10.6 and a P of less than 0.01. So it was a pilot study. There are a number of limitations inherent with that. It was a small study. We really need to do more research to replicate outcomes and see what happens next. We were also unable to assess whether the intervention efficacy relies on the quality of the relationship between the navigator, improved care coordination, or a combination of those factors. So it's something that we are working to define in the future. It's also that consort diagram, that beautiful consort diagram that I was talking about earlier, and that group of 61, it's 43.6% of eligible participants were not enrolled because of outreach and contact issues. So we did an analysis of this subgroup, what happened there and what was going on, and we found that there was no difference in the patient demographics of those two groups. So it's something that we're focusing on in a new pilot study. How are we going to get to them and speak to them more quickly so that we can potentially enroll them in this type of study and have more data for stronger outcomes in the future. The other important thing to note is that despite the huge difference that we saw in time to diagnosis between the two groups, it was still really long, and that needs to be addressed. So we're also in the current pilot study that is being completed trying to address that issue by, instead of scheduling one appointment and then waiting a month and then scheduling the next appointment after they've been to that visit, we're trying to work with the clinic to develop a new way of scheduling those clients. So we're trying to fix some of those issues in a new trial study. So in conclusion, feasibility and acceptability of this new application of patient navigation to help low-income and minority families through the ASD diagnostic assessment seems really promising, and we're excited to see what happens next. Family navigation did improve the proportion of the children that achieved diagnostic resolution. Again, we think we can do better, and we're pushing to see what we can do. And I think the strength of the study is that it really helped us refine the methods so that moving forward with this new pilot study, we can strengthen it even further and then test it in a 5-year multi-site trial in the future. Thank you very much.